The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. A number of years ago, I asked a friend of mine, "Are you looking forward to heaven?" And her response was very striking. I don't think it was unusual, because other people have said similar things since then. But she said, "I don't know. I think I might be bored." Isn't that interesting? As I say, I don't think it's unusual. I think a lot of people would say, "You know, I'm not so sure I'm looking forward to heaven." And yet heaven is the goal for all of us, for all people, and we, if we want to go to heaven, we have to work at the salvation of souls of everyone. And especially during this month of November, when we remember in a particular way the souls in purgatory and pray for them, we're called to think about our own lives and death. And you know, there are four last things: death, judgment, heaven, hell. Those are the last four things. It's all going to happen. We're all going to die. There's nobody going to get out of life alive, right? That's what we say. Secondly, we're all going to be judged. We're going to stand before the throne of God, and we're not going to be able to be dishonest or whatever. We will be judged. Now, God is a judge. He's a merciful judge, but justice and mercy go together. So there will be a real judgment, and maybe as I say that, you might think, geez, I'm a little bit nervous about that. I'm afraid. And then, of course, we are judged either worthy to be with the Lord for all eternity and to share in a joy and a fulfillment that goes beyond anything we can possibly experience or imagine in this life, or we will go to hell, where we will be totally devoid of the goodness of God and an eternal misery. Now that frightens me. That frightens me. I certainly want to go to heaven. I want to do what I need to do for myself and for others, because you don't do it alone. We do it in a community. I want to do what we need to do so that we can all be at that table, that banquet table in heaven. But all of us are called to think about those four last things, not to be afraid of them. And if you are afraid, I mean, if there is fear, if there's guilt, well, the Lord says, you know what to do. If you're Catholics, you know what to do. Go to the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession. What an easy way of having our sins taken away from us. And when God forgives our sins, when we say to the Lord, "Lord, I am sorry," and God forgives us, God takes those sins, this is what the Old Testament tells us, he takes those sins and he puts them behind his back. Because he's not going to remember them. He doesn't want us to remember them. That's how good God is. And no matter what we've done, no matter what sin we have committed, God is always anxiously waiting for us to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. So the problem in our world today is not about God and God not doing enough. It's that we don't take advantage of the many gifts God has given us so that we can say to death, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it, believe me. I say sometimes, Lord, if you want to take me right now, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. I would love to be with you for all eternity right now. Because that's my fulfillment. I know there's nothing in this life that can fulfill me the same way that God and his presence can fulfill me. Now, of course, if I was a real saintly person, I would say, along with St. Catherine of Siena, all the way to heaven is heaven. I don't know what she saw. I don't always see it that way. But she's right. She's right, because God is here with us now fully and completely. But are we joyful about that? Are we convinced that God is there for us, not against us? He's not waiting us for to trip and fall and then to yell at us, but rather he's right there to help us get back up. So as we pray for the poor souls, we sometimes say, I don't think they're poor. If I make it to purgatory, I'm going to be happy. But we pray for them that their purgation won't last long and they will be with the Lord. And they know they will be. They will be with the Lord. But again, we also have to come back to ourselves and ask us, what about us? And in the two readings that we have today, another teaching of the church comes out very clearly. Resurrection. Resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that it's not just our souls that are raised up to God, but that one day at the final judgment, our bodies will be resurrected. They will be glorified. Now, what's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? I don't know. I don't know, because I've not experienced it. We see in the scriptures that Jesus was glorified in his resurrected body. He was able to eat. Oh boy, thank God for that. I love food. So apparently, even in the new world, the new creation will still have that desire and that ability to enjoy food. But he also was able to appear suddenly in a building that was in a locked room. He was able to suddenly appear there. So there's something we have not experienced it. And I doubt very much that the soldiers who were guarding the tomb would have had a clue as to what was happening when Jesus rose from the dead. Whether they saw anything or not, they wouldn't have understood it, because something like that had never, ever happened before. And yet we believe in the resurrection of the body. And as we are taught, those who are going to be in heaven will be there with their resurrected bodies, and those who go to hell will be there with their resurrected bodies. So there's a resurrection for everyone, but we believe that. Now, again, we may not fully understand what heaven is all about or resurrection is all about, but we are told, this is our rock teaching, our foundational teaching, that God wants us to be with him for all eternity, and he wants us to share in his glory and divinity as we are, that is, as human beings, creatures. But in order for that to happen, God's got to do some work in us so that we can become more and more like him, so that we can become divine. Because only people who are divine can share in the divine glory of God himself. So again, right now, as I speak to you in this church, as we listen to the word of God, as we receive the divine food, the body and blood of Jesus, that word and that food changes us. So even now, we are becoming divine, not just ordinary created beings, but we're becoming more and more like God so that one day we can share fully in his glory. And how do we get there? Well, we know how to get there. The seven brothers in that first reading from Maccabees, which is a Old Testament book and clearly talks about the resurrection, they were willing to suffer torture and die rather than give in to the pagans. They were willing to suffer. Now, it doesn't mean that they wanted to suffer. It doesn't mean that they liked the suffering, but they weren't afraid to let it happen, as painful as it might be, because their faith was rooted in God, not in other human beings, not in their own desires, but in God himself. So they were willing to undergo that torture and death. And are we willing to do that? Because as Christians, we know that if we want to be faithful to Jesus, we have to carry the cross. And as I've said in previous homilies, the cross is not this nice little thing we wear around our necks. Boy, if that's all it was, we'd have an easy time of carrying the cross of Christ. But it's not. It's a real cross, a very heavy cross, a cross of suffering. And yet, with God's help, not only can we carry it as faithful people, but we can even use it, as some writers say, as a stairway up into heaven. We can climb that cross right into heaven, the cross that God gives us. So we're called, especially during November, to remember, as I say, the souls in purgatory, but also to confront in our own lives what we say we believe and ask ourselves, are we truly living what we believe? It's one thing to think about it up here, and yeah, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, but then how am I living that right now? How am I living the fact that I'm going to die someday? How am I living that reality right now? How am I living the knowledge that I'm going to be judged? Am I doing what I need to do every moment so that I can say, again, I'm not afraid of dying. I want to be with the Lord. I may die through a car accident. I may die through cancer. It really doesn't matter because the end result is death and hopefully glory for all eternity. So the scriptures tell us that. They give us stories of great people, men and women, who are willing to let go of everything to be saved. Are we willing to let go of everything to be saved? Are we willing to walk the walk, not just to talk about our faith, but to live it? And especially to take the faith that we're celebrating right now, which should give us joy. I think that's one of the things we can ask ourselves in prayer. Am I a joyful Christian? Do I enjoy my relationship with God? Do I take joy in what God has revealed to me? Do I take joy in the fact that I can have my sins absolved like that? Am I joyful about that? And as we get into that joy, it starts to overflow. And then we're going to say, I want to tell other people about it. And that's exactly what should be happening, that we're so filled with that joy of our own faith that we can't wait to get back out onto the streets and to tell other people about it, especially in this world where there is so much darkness and suffering and pain and tragedy, that it shouldn't be happening. But when we Christians keep that joy of the gospel to ourselves, we allow horrible things to happen in the world. So yes, we are going to die. We are going to be judged. We're going to be resurrected either into heaven or to hell. That's a given. But right now, as we continue our journey, we're called to say, okay, where am I in my journey? Am I afraid? Am I looking forward to heaven? How am I living my faith? And perhaps even more importantly, how am I sharing that faith with other people who just don't know about Jesus? Because he is heaven. He is our joy. He is our yes to the Father. He is our amen. He's everything, really. And if we keep going back to that truth, then hopefully we're going to grow in our faith as disciples and take it out into the world. So as you go forward this week to pray for those who are still waiting to be purged of their sins to enter into eternal glory, let's pray also for ourselves that we will get on fire with our faith, that we will look at those beliefs that we do believe and confront them and say, well, Satan has no power over me. Sin has no power over me. What's keeping me back from living the life of a joyful Christian? And then start living that life as God calls us to live it, so that we can truly be a sign of the light of Christ and bring that good news, which is, it's better than good news, it's fantastic news, and take it into the world.